Hello and welcome to the For Her Empire podcast. I'm your host, Abby Malcha. And in this podcast, we address the personal and the business issues that female entrepreneurs face in their day-to-day lives. Our guest today, whose last name I might butcher, but I'll try my best, Joyce Forrester. Ha! I feel like I got it. Yes. And so Joyce teaches LinkedIn marketing to baby boomers, and she's made, you know, a career out of it. And today she's going to teach us about LinkedIn, because apparently it's not like we treat LinkedIn like Tinder. We go on it and we get out. She's going to teach us the proper way to use LinkedIn. So over to you, Joyce.
I love you telling us the Tinder example right
yes.
off the gate. Oh, yes. It's just one of my favorite, like made that up all by myself. Okay, so my name's Joyce Foystel. Lovely job there, Abby. I named my business Boomers, B-O-O-M-E-S, like baby boomers, Boomers Social Media Tutor, because that way I reference the people I'm targeting, primarily people born between 1946 and 1964. And what do? I teach them, I tutor them about social media. I'm not an expert. I'm not, you know, the world's greatest knowledgeable person on LinkedIn, but I know enough to help the people who are in, you know, my age group or slightly younger, because I'm on the older end of the boomers. I'm 72. But I can help people of all ages. Most of my clients do tend to fall into that older age group.
Yeah. And so how exactly did you get into LinkedIn marketing? What happened?
Well, I'll tell you what. First, I had to get into LinkedIn. So let's think about all of us. Well, you were what, like in grade school doing the math.
Okay,
but anyway, back in the 2000s, I got to pick on you, right? But back in the 2000s, you know, we all hear about Facebook starting. It started in 2004. But by then, LinkedIn and Twitter had already been around. I started, I believe, the year before. So when did I find LinkedIn? I got on it before I got on Facebook. I got on LinkedIn in 2006. So that's when I was, 57. So why would I even bother with LinkedIn? A friend of mine in Toastmasters, that's a communication and leadership skill building group, had invited me into LinkedIn. So I hadn't heard of it, but I thought, well, I like Anne. Why not just, you know, get involved with this group? So I got into it and I didn't do much with it, I'll be honest. Then about 2 years later, a different Toastmaster was leaving our club and I thought, oh, I'll miss seeing you, Andrew, because he was just too busy to keep it up. And he invited me into Facebook. All right. So then once I found Facebook in 08, I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun. I wonder if my nieces and my nephews will friend me back, you know, so I can know about their lives, not wait for the Christmas letter, you know. So at any rate, then I thought, wait a minute, I'm on something that looks kind of like this, but it's much more boring than Facebook is fun. And LinkedIn is like, really? You know, I thought maybe I should take it seriously. So I look into it and sure enough, keeping with the Toastmasters theme, I find this Toastmasters group on LinkedIn. Now there's over 50,000 people in it on LinkedIn all over the world. Seriously, it's so amazing. And so I got into the group and meeting people from all around the world, helping them. They helped me, a group. It's not as dynamic as it was back in that era of 08, 09, 10, you know, over 10 years ago. I think things have changed a bit with LinkedIn groups. But the long and short of it, by the time 2010 came around and at my company where I worked as an enrollment advisor, think inside sales, it was a niched college for financial planning professionals. So anyway, by the time 2010 came, my college had been watching social media evolve through the 2000s, right? And think back to 2010 then, okay, so it was really catching on. They're thinking we better get into social media, the marketing people at my college. So they got a Facebook business page, they got their Twitter going, and they got a group going on LinkedIn. And so we in enrollment were told that they needed our help to chat up social media. They even paid us, Abby, $5 for every Twitter follow. I'm serious. They had to. We were commissioned salespeople.
Okay.
How else are we going to talk about it? Because it's taking us off what we're supposed to do, right? So at any rate, so they paid us money, a little bit, to get people to engage. It's an incentive to get people, our students, engaged with our social media. Well, guess what?
What?
So that's 11 years ago, right? Now here we are, 2021. I was 61 back then. Now, of course, being I'm 72 now, I was the oldest person on my enrollment team. I was the best person with the incentives. Month after month after month, I like to think it paid for the first smartphone. Who knows, you know? So my manager was like, blown away. He's 35. I'm the age of his parents, and he could even hear me. Plus, numbers don't lie. And one day he said to me, you know, Joyce, I've been thinking, since you're so good at getting our students here at the college, this virtual college really is what it is, engaged with our college's social media, hey, have you ever thought about helping people in your age, other people, but especially people in your age group with social media to understand it like you do? And I was like, you think, Brad? Like, I understand it well enough? And he says, you know, I really think you could do something like that. So that I like to, when I tell this story, I also like to add that in my mind, in retrospect, it was like the clouds parted and angels sang and God just
channeled
right through Brett Sandberg, right? And it gave me a purpose in life, because I'll be honest, you know, I told you before we started the show, I have two daughters, a lovely husband, 49 years, I haven't mentioned him, but you know, he was part of the daughters. You know?
Yes, I'm
and so at any rate, I have a very nice life, but if I had a calling, you know, he is a lawyer. My sister was a college professor, that type of thing. No, I've been in sales. I've done jobs, but I don't feel like I'd had a career that really was meaningful to me. And by getting this idea from my manager, once I retired then out of that sales job, then I was able to help people in a way that I thought I could help teach kids back when I was young. And I realized school teaching, too much of a free spirit. I don't fit in that world. But now I take my skills as an educator and all my Toastmaster speaking ability, because I do a lot of training and such, now online, of course. Yes. And it all fits together. So I help business owners, the people who are listening, watching this program, entrepreneurs and job seekers, but mostly entrepreneurs, with their LinkedIn and to a lesser extent with Facebook business pages. So mainly I like to use LinkedIn because I feel for me it's the best fit to really make an impact.
Okay. So let's say, I was within the demographic like several years added to my age.
Like your folks, we've already established this.
Well, yeah. Well, let's say it was my dad right now.
Yeah, your dad. We'll use your dad. Your dad is a younger boomer. I'm an older boomer. Yeah, so go ahead with your
question. Let's say he has someone sends him an invite on his email to join LinkedIn, and maybe he had signed up at some point just to please that person, but he has done nothing with it. So now he wants to get into like LinkedIn, maybe to connect with professionals, maybe to he wants to start his own business, but for whatever reason. Apart from, yes, you create your profile and you add things to it, but realistically, for someone of that demographic, for the my dad's age, what should he do? Because I don't really see him spending that much time on LinkedIn. I feel like when he look at it, he will get overwhelmed and he will just go out of it. So how do you like rekindle interest enough to actually not just build your profile, but use LinkedIn as it was made to be used?
Exactly. So let's back up and say, how was LinkedIn, what was the point of LinkedIn in the first place? The reason LinkedIn was created was to connect the business professionals of the world. It really, people say it was connected to help people get jobs, and it's been used that way. Recruiters use it, job seekers use it. But the ultimate purpose, not unlike Facebook, where that's more on a personal end, LinkedIn was created to connect business people to business people of all kinds. So when you think of it like that, you want to think, well, who do I want to connect with? Who do I want to appeal to? So therefore, and what kind of business do I have, or what kind of company do I work for? So I would start with the whole idea of branding yourself, just like you would have a website and you're branding yourself. So LinkedIn is really another tool that you can use. So you think like your cover photo, there at the top behind your, you know, little headshot, that makes a statement like yours does on your LinkedIn profile. Sometimes they'll call it a page, but it's really a profile. And then you think, and then you're, you know, you should have an up-to-date picture, of course, just you. But then the headline, that needs to be an attention grabber. That if, say, if you had a business, like I say, I use my tagline, making social media simple, easy, and fun. And especially when I say fun, people are like, how can that be? You know, especially LinkedIn, you know, but just in general. And so, right. So then you find ways to identify yourself with search terms so that when people are looking within LinkedIn, they're going to find you. Even looking outside of LinkedIn, like on Google, then your LinkedIn profile could well come up. So you got to be thinking, again, like I say, branding. Then for visual elements, there's something called featured. It's only been around just over a year or about a year. And it's a lovely section. I've noticed you use it to get people over to your like booking page and all that. And it talks yes. I was looking at this morning of the services you offer. You can also use it for photographs, for a link to a video. You can use it for a landing page on your website. If you have posts that you put up and you have a visual associated with your post on LinkedIn, all you can pick, you know, maybe your very appealing ones, a post that got a lot of traction, or some special event coming, anything that has a visual component. So that's going to kind of brighten up this otherwise boring platform again. So you have to be thinking about that. And then another really critical part for your dad or anybody who's just not paid much attention to their LinkedIn is something called the about section. It's called the summary, about, all pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, it is a shorter one and it's a longer one.
Right. The longer, the shorter is your headline. The shorter, that's 220 characters. They recently added 100 characters. Thank you, LinkedIn, to that headline. So you can really elaborate a little more. But then the about is 2,600 character limit. Not that you have to use every single character. However, that is where you tell your story. Now, a lot of people who are older, I'm making a generalization like this, don't really want to get how they perceive it to be braggy. They're like, oh, you know, just me. Oh, you know, I don't really want to like sound like I'm all that. And the reality is you need to
sound like you're all that.
PR yourself. You have to. Who else is going to do it? You don't have to start every sentence with I, you know. But you want to talk about the about section is who you are in the context of the business you're in now or the company you work for. So you're right, you're painting a picture. And if you use the first person voice, I, you, you'll be more inviting. You know the whole phrase in business, know, like, and trust, right?
Yes.
Most of us in business know that, right? So if you think about it from that standpoint, by the end of reading this about section, I should kind of know you. I should start to even maybe like you. Well, trust would be, you know, probably not yet. But I often joke that if it's really well written, I would love to have a virtual glass of wine with you by the time I'm done reading it. That's how engaging I want you to come across. And you know what you can do? You know about the social proof concept? You can get a testimonial. You know how you have people have testimonials on their website, right?
Yeah.
If it's on your website, you can take that and put a little snippet of it right on your about section.
Oh,
think about that. So that gives extra oomph, right? What other people say, they validate you. So I'm talking about what I consider really the most important parts of that LinkedIn profile, the background, the cover photo, the headline, and then that about section. That's what's going to get people's attention. And then, you know, there's more I could share, but I don't want to throw it back to you. Because that's where I would start with if I was advising your dad.
Yeah.
You know, so, keeping his audience in mind.
Yeah. So let's say he's done his profile, he's thrown his experience and education and all of that, plus the headshot, the cover image. Now is the sending connections, adding the connection. Yeah. And then
right.
I remember that when I first created my first LinkedIn account, all my connections were people in the same university I went to. Most of them I've never heard of. I just saw that we went to the same university. So I just like added you. And now that I'm a bit more discerning about who I'm adding as a connection, I'm also a bit concerned about sending a message to it. I know for a while last year, almost everyone sending a connection added like this really salesy, boring message attached to it. But like, I want to work with you, I want to connect with you, and like, hi, just write some boring generic ish in there. So now we want to start sending your first connection request. How do you go about it, especially if you're like, I don't know you, but I might want to connect with you?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, everybody's can be a little different about that. The way I don't tend to do a lot of reaching out to like people I don't already know on LinkedIn, unless maybe we're in a group together or maybe they commented on a post I had, or when I was reading somebody else's post, I saw their comment and I go, oh, you know, I saw your comment on Abby's post and I felt like we are kindred spirits. I know that may sound strange, but I really resonated with your comment and I wondered if we could connect. So I think you better give yourself a reason to connect with you. So some people will be more bold, you might say, out there and say this is where I see we have some commonalities. But I think you got to be really careful, because otherwise they're going to blow you off. If there is a whiff of salesiness about you, that person would just ignore you. Nope. And worse. Could block you. See, I block those people. When I get those salesy people, I'm like, you just are.
I just ignore you.
Go away. Because, you know, if you just ignore them, Abby, they could just come right back in 6 months, right? Or a year.
Because
that's probably some automated person or someone they paid or whatever. And I don't want to be around someone who comes immediately at me so salesy, either in the initial note or once you accept them, then they turn right around and start asking all these questions and want to get your business. Yeah. So I guess there's a lot of it depends, you know, in social media and LinkedIn included. So I think that what I really like to do, if I find somebody who appeals to me, say in a search, mm-hmm. I'll see who is my shared connection with that person. So say I find somebody and you're connected to them, right? So I would reach out to you and I'd say, Abby, how do you know Sue over here? Where did you meet her? What's your connection with her? Because she's somebody I'd really like to get to know. So then you can tell me, you know, you may or may not know her well enough to do that, like an email introduction.
Something.
Yeah. It's like a reference. So now I've got like a warm connection. I'm not just sending her an invite. You're the one that introduces. Then we have, say, a Zoom chat like this. And then I say, oh, Sue, hey, now that we've gotten to know each other, let's do LinkedIn too. So that's a good way to keep ourselves connected. So LinkedIn would not come immediately. LinkedIn could come after, but I would have found her on LinkedIn, let's say.
Yeah. Oh, that's like such a long journey to go on LinkedIn.
Zoom. I know. It feels like a lot of work.
It does feel like a lot of work.
I'm just saying my style. Other people, like I say, they're more bold. They're like, there's a phrase in sales, a concept called the hunter and the gatherer. The hunter is the person really good at going out and being bold and just, you know, making business, finding, you know, prospects. And the gatherer, they give them, right. The gatherer is, okay, you give me the food and I'll figure out a way to cook it. You know, I'll figure out a way to call these people. I'll keep being persistent and see who's going to sign up with me. So I will say that was one of my struggles in the 17 years I was in sales, is that I wasn't as bold as I could have been. So I think it really depends. And also it might depend on the nature of your work too, because if you say, let's say your dad's a lawyer, let's just pretend. Mm-hmm. Well, then someone like a lawyer, an accountant, those kind of people, they would probably want to be super selective in terms of who they even invited and who they would accept. Because there may be like a book of business in there. They don't see. Then you have to, the whole nother conversation is, do you let other people see who your LinkedIn connections are if they're one of your connections? So you can also just completely hide all those connections. There's a setting for that if you want to. Most people, and I think it's better, just let the connection see the other connections.
Yeah, it's just, so, it feels much
so think about those. So, when you accept somebody, it's going to sound like safe sex or something. But when you accept somebody into your world, they can go after your other connections. I know she's a
hey,
oh, she's Jesus. Embarrassing. It's like, First it's Tinder, now it's same sex, right? But seriously, you want to be really careful who you bring into your circle.
Okay. I feel like circle became a euphemism for something else. Okay. Wow.
See, we have to get goofy because LinkedIn otherwise is just
so boring. I was about to ask a question about Tinder and now I'm like, do I want to ask this question?
So I hope that's helpful as you're envisioning your dad making decisions, because I think it does vary. Yeah. I mean, Abby, I have over 9,000 connections. I know people that have way more than that. Right. So it's not like I can like be all cozy and friendly. I don't know who all these people are.
Yeah.
You know, but I've done a degree of vetting to decide who to accept and who not. So there are people I don't accept for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So now next question is this. Typically, among the, at least the, my age and maybe in their 40s, what we do with LinkedIn is that, and he said this before I started recording, when I'm looking for a job, I will polish the crap out of my LinkedIn profile. I get very engaged so that, you know, you sort of see me more visible. Then once I get the job, that sort of slows down till like nothing for a year. And then maybe when I'm thinking, oh, I want to get back into the job hunting place, I go back again. Now you said that's not how to use LinkedIn. So what would you say is the best way to use LinkedIn?
Well, I think the simple answer to that is the best way to use LinkedIn for starters is to be on LinkedIn. Go to LinkedIn. So let's see a best practice, a simple way to answer this. So I'm not saying you have to be on it every day like I am. No. If you went to LinkedIn once a week, maybe twice a week, and you would check to see who wants to connect with you. Maybe it's somebody you met in a networking event and you're like, oh, look, there's Abby. That's right. We did hit it off. I'm so glad she asked me for an invite. So then you don't want that invite to be just languishing, just waiting in there for weeks at a time. No, Abby's feelings might be hurt, right? So then you want to go and check your pending invites, right? Or if you're in business, it might be a client or a referral partner just hanging out there waiting for you to, you know, look at them. The second thing you want to do is look at your notifications. You know, just like in any social media, there's notifications and those are there, usually like a bell icon type of thing. The bell, exactly. So you look there and see, okay, somebody's got a new job or somebody has like 5 years in their anniversary of their job or their business. So that I call it kind of the schmoozy part, the kind of just chit-chatty, oh, congratulations.
You just know, click friendly. On the default button, it sends it for you.
So it's very random in terms of who you're going to see there. But sometimes, you know, you're like, oh, that's Sue, you know, that's Bill from college, or there's Bridget from my last job, you know, oh gosh, that's so nice. She got that new position. I remember she was wanting to find something like that. Yeah. So there's a chit chat kind of element. You can either congratulate them publicly by clicking on the actual verbiage of the congratulations posting, or notification, or you can write the little private note, you know, where it says congrats.
Yes.
So those, okay, so it's review. So you're going to look at pending invites. You're going to be kind of friendly with your activity of your people. Then if you put up a post, you also want to check to see if people have commented on your post. And then you want to comment back. That's the etiquette. If someone just likes a post, you don't have to write to that person. But if they've made a comment, I think just to be sociable and, you know, respectful, you want to thank them, if nothing else, for the comment. And then, speaking of which, let's post something. Let's say something. like, come on. And oh, this, people might see, oh, LinkedIn intimidates me. I mean, really, why? I don't know why, because I probably sound too close to it. But you can go and put a post, the functionality, just like posting on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram in a way, you know. So you're putting up your little post. You want to have a visual with it, ideally, but you don't have to. But here's the key thing. If you want to get some traction, if you want to get eyeballs on this post, mm-hmm. tag people. They call it mentioning on LinkedIn.
No.
So after this, what I'd probably do this morning, I would even put a post up. I'll do this. And I will tag you and say, oh, my gosh, I have a friend in Kenya, right? She's amazing, you know, and I would tag you. And what does that do? Then your people some of them, not all of them, could see that post. And people would say, whoa, and a podcast for her empire? Hey, I want to have what she's having for lunch. That's a reference to a movie from the 80s here in the U.S. But at any rate, some people will get that Harry Met Sally. But at any rate, if you haven't seen that movie, you've got to watch it. So the point is, they're like, oh my gosh, that is so cool that Joyce has been on a podcast. And then when the episode drops, then again, I put that up, right? So I want, and then I put, every Tuesday, I put a little LinkedIn tip. I have a little system. So, you know, again, you can have a system. It doesn't have to be that much work. But even if just once a week, you took some little nugget of wisdom from your world and you just put it up as a post, that goes so far. It really does. And mention somebody that ties in with that post. Then I'm thinking, I'm going to kind of cut my mind. So those are kind of the main things to do. Oh, I know. So say you have influencers in your field, or just you have a client, you have a referral partner, people like that. So there's a really slick way that you can go into their profile. Maybe you've noticed this in the activity section.
Yes.
And you go and look at what they've been liking, commenting on, what they post. And then you can either just comment on it, which actually is better for them because it gives it, you know, more energy to their post.
Yeah.
Or you can share it. Any of those things, then you're associating yourself with that influencer. You can even tag them if you're not first level connected with them. Yes, you can, which is pretty, unless, you know, pretty slick when you think about it, unless they perhaps have gone to some setting where they don't want
privacy, like, don't tag me, they don't know you.
Yeah. There, I'm sure there's a place you can go and stop it, but it's an honor to be tagged. It's an honor to be mentioned. So therefore, usually people are quite happy when you do that. And then, so that's what I'll do. I'll go and see what other people are doing and share from them. So sometimes we have, like the other day, I had writer's block. I could not think what to give for even a simple Tuesday tip. And then, you know what? This lady saw a post I put up about a podcast I've been on, and she wrote me this lovely little note, a comment there. But then she goes and she writes a whole post about how wonderful I am.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, what?
You shared that.
So then what I do is I shared that post in the Tuesday tip. I said, listen, here's what you can do. Compliment people on LinkedIn, just like Yvonne did for me. See below, right?
Yeah.
So that would just solve my problem that day.
I'm gonna stalk you on LinkedIn to see what you're doing because my LinkedIn is practically dead. So I'm gonna go use your tips to revive my LinkedIn.
So so that's what I think. I think that if people don't overthink this is the thing. Just and be yourself, find your own voice. Sometimes people struggle with, oh, so-and-so smarty pants. They sound like they really know what they're doing and they've got their act together. Well, that's their voice. That's the way they talk. I mean, I can get there myself. I have a couple of LinkedIn people who are much, you know, I know a lot about LinkedIn, trust me, but these people know more. And so sometimes I have this sort of jealousy thing going on. Like, they do this and that. And just me, well, I'm pretty good in my own right. So own yourself and own. See, the voice I have, Abby, is like a teacher voice, like a nice teacher voice, a kind and helpful teacher voice. So that's the way I approach LinkedIn is kind of let me help you learn something.
I have to think of what's my voice. How would I approach LinkedIn and then use that going forward?
Yeah. Because look at your blogs that you write. Look at your, you know, listen back to some of your podcast interviews. See, in the short time I've met you, you have this voice of exuberance. You have this fun-loving, just delight in life. And see, almost childlike in your own way. Not in a, you know, how can I put this?
It's a just like a two,
people compared me to a two-year-old. You remind me a little of me in an even higher level of energy. Because if you think of a two-year-old, maybe you know a two-year-old. Maybe you have a two-year-old. I don't know.
I don't have a two-year-old.
Jesus, don't get me going on kids. You know, but they have, you know, this visceral, just joy in every little thing. And I think when you come across, when I feel you, when I experience you, that's how you come across to me. So you get, and look at your little kid. So then ask people that know you. Yeah, just your nonverbals, everything. So that's how, that's why if I were you, I'd have videos on LinkedIn. I would have clips from a video because you you fully express when you share out loud.
Yes.
As opposed to just for the written word.
Yeah,
right?
I was afraid that I would have to be like very strict and like, I don't know, I don't want corporate-y, seriously, and that's
exactly. No, all right. So this is good you said that, because if you think about it, this is an older analogy before COVID, but if you think of it, Twitter is like the bar. All right, so let's just go to Twitter first. You can tell a little story, this guy, this gal, you know, all the little snip, snip, snip. Twitter is the bar. Then LinkedIn, I mean, Facebook is like, again, the water cooler. Who even knows what a water cooler is or goes to the office? But, you know, the break room, yeah, where you chat at break with your friends, right? And then LinkedIn is more like the boardroom, like you said, corporate,
yeah,
or like the conference room, where you kind of settle down and you aren't all goofy and things like that. But I don't care. Be a little goofy. Aren't meetings more fun when you add, you know, just some humor to them and some life to them? So, yes, you wouldn't like probably say swear or be, you know, really inappropriate in language or anything like that. But you still, and then we can get a whole nother conversation about how you express your point of view. I mean, like one of my really new and very dear friends is Black. She lives in Milwaukee and she comes very much being Black. In African-American, whatever term you want to use, is her identity. And I watch her on this imposter syndrome interrupted show. You would love that. At any rate, so she will have things about Black Lives Matter. I mean, you know, like anything like the George Floyd recent conviction, she would post about that even on LinkedIn. And I say, you know what, Clarine, go for it. That's part of why you're here in the world, is to make a point and to raise up the status of Black women entrepreneurs. Not that she doesn't help white men and other people, but her sweet place, her special place in her heart is for people like her who came from a place of struggle to a place of success. So, you know, that's so I want to mention that. I say, don't hide yourself, but decide, you know, in our country right now, as you probably are aware, it's very polarized.
Yes.
And so for me, I don't want to, you know, unnecessarily ruffle the feathers
of somebody who's
are different than mine. Even the other day when I made some reference and she mentioned, we were talking about two different presidents, it became very clear which party we each of us are for. And I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't gone there.
Yes.
This is just a conversation I had with her. So at any rate, I think you've got to make your own decision around your positioning, maybe, and your worldview, how you express that. I think that's such an individual choice.
Okay. Now let's get to the content you actually post on LinkedIn. So for you on Tuesday, you do like a Tuesday tip. For me, I probably just start sharing more of my podcast, like snippets of things in there. So like... would you say that the best thing to post on LinkedIn are like advice and tips, things like that?
I think advice, tips, trends in your industry, your observations about those trends. I think those things are well received. I think, or if you find a really good article, a good, any kind of source that you find that somebody else has shared, sharing their material. I mean, this is just my opinion. I mean, you'll see a lot of things that people share, but I think that when you're seen as a resource, when you're seen as a go-to person, that just simply elevates your professional credibility. But it also helps attract the people you want to attract. If you're looking to attract more people to for her empire, who are between late 20s and late 30s, you want to sort of speak to that demographic and you want to think, okay, how do they learn? You know, how, you know, what attracts them. So then you would be think selectively about which podcast to share, that type of thing. So those are just some general thoughts or events. Another good thing, of course, we don't really have physical events so much, but even if you were like, say, when I'm like teaching somewhere, all right. So the other night I was, Project Management Institute, that's an international organization, project management. It's a professional field.
Yeah.
So I was teaching LinkedIn class to them. And during the class, which was done through Zoom webinar, anyway, so I'm on my LinkedIn, and I say, such a delight to get to teach on LinkedIn. And then I referenced the name of the entity, Project Management Institute, Mile High Chapter here in the Denver, Colorado area. And then I tagged the lady who invited me, and I tagged the man who was emceeing. I've had 1,500 views of that post. It's not too bad, right?
That's too bad. I was happy with that.
Yeah. And I didn't even have an image with it because I couldn't exactly take their picture. No.
Yeah.
So at any rate, the point is then I wanted to show them how easy it is to post as much as anything. And all these lovely comments started flowing down from them, giving the post yet more energy, like I said. So, if you think, what I often think of is, what are people asking me lately? What problems am I solving? Like, for example, do you know how many times people get two LinkedIn accounts going or even more?
Actually, I have
people
two accounts.
Like my dad will take them.
The first one is dead.
Right. So, yeah, because you don't want two of you on LinkedIn. It confuses the heck out of people. So I will talk about, maybe every few months even, the whole idea of having two accounts and what to do. So then I'll say, and then help me. I'll say to people, hey, for free, you got a problem with this? We'll do a Zoom. I'll kind of look over your shoulder virtually and we'll go through it and we'll see what we can do we can to merge these two accounts. So a lot of mine is very organic. It's very, kind of driven by what's coming up lately.
You're so good. That's what you're LinkedIn. Like, wow. I aspire to be like you. Like, I aspire to have like this level of like structure going on with any social media. Wow. I'm going to try that.
One other thing to think about is, as we're wrapping up, before I forget, tell your clients, your viewers, whatever, to Google themselves. When you Google yourself, you will be surprised that LinkedIn comes up very high, like it or not, in a Google search. Seriously.
Instead of Googling myself right now.
Do that right now. And it's kind of scary. Then you're like, oh no, that profile looks bad. I should get to that. So that's like a moment of truth. People just don't even think that folks could, even my daughter, Jane, I'll tell you what, she's 10 years older than you. She's in her 30s, right?
Yeah.
Late 30s. So what it is, she isn't even on LinkedIn, that silly girl, but okay. She goes and looks people up there. Well, she's in nonprofits. Now she's a home mom. Technically, she doesn't need LinkedIn. It's always so hard to bring your family into this. But the point is that she will Google people, find their LinkedIn, read about them. See, so it's used a lot. And sometimes I think people just don't even have a clue how often they are being searched and they may, be losing business because they aren't showing up well enough.
Okay, so let's say my dad or a baby boomer wants you to like handle the LinkedIn thing, or at least walk them through it, because yes, we've talked about
it. Okay, let me make a different distinction. Yeah, go ahead and finish your question. Yes. Yeah,
so let's say my mom maybe wants someone to either walk them through the LinkedIn process or do it for them. Do you also do it for them as well, or you only walk them through it?
I'm glad you asked this question. This is so important. I believe that except for some posting, which you could delegate, you could pay somebody to post, to go in as you. You have to trust them, right? They're going in as you with your LinkedIn email and password, and then posting as you, right? That you could delegate. However, it's impossible to delegate who to connect with. Because only your dad knows who he went to high school with, or college if he went to college. Only your dad knows that he worked with that person two jobs ago. So when the invites come in, and then also, unless they really have your dad's voice, can kind of capture that, to comment on people, to me, you have to be like a ghostwriter or something. Some people will do social media management for other people and it works. I'm not big on doing so much social media management on LinkedIn. That's just my opinion. Okay. So I think it depends. And you see, because you don't have to spend that much time on it, tell your dad that, like, how much effort is this to go into this platform? And you might like it better than you thought. So I think a lot of people say, oh, I hate social media. You get that a lot with the older people. Oh, I don't do technology. I don't do social media. Yeah. Well, get over it. Just get over it.
He doesn't like social media. He does, right? That's on Facebook.
But see, there's such a huge, as you know, Abby, there's a huge difference between LinkedIn and Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, you know, everything else, right? So everything has its place. And I think if you can get your head wrapped around the fact that LinkedIn is a different world, then it's more manageable, it's more approachable, it's more accessible. So that's where I say I would coach him through all these things we talked about today. In fact, you can tell your dad, because I've really taken to you, that I would do a session for him for free and would not even charge him my $90 per hour senior rate. Now, my regular rate is $115 per hour, see? So I have a senior discount.
Yeah.
How about that? So I would really be happy to help him if he was open to it. Yeah.
Okay.
Won't ask you about his work. We can talk about that later. But actually, it's fun. I relate to people your age because really I'm more millennial than some millennials. You know,
yeah, you know, the different ways to use LinkedIn. I'm just trying to be more consistent there. Just like look at it. So they're like, oh, okay, log out. That's me.
And see, I mean, I like the baby boomers because they're my people. And I also like this youthful exuberance that I experience with people in your generation. And I identify with that. So it's really lovely. But I do find that the people who are, you know, naturally drawn to me are like more like your dad's age. Yeah.
And so how does one work with you, Lou? Like, do they go like find
how it works? Yeah, just okay. Yeah, so what we do, it's really pretty cool. We just use Zoom like you and I are doing right now. And they share their screen with me. So they would be, they'd have LinkedIn open on their computer. They shouldn't be on a, obviously a phone or even an iPad. I prefer them on a, like a laptop or desktop. So they're in their computer, they got their LinkedIn open, and then they share the screen with me. And then we just painstakingly go through each section of the LinkedIn profile, just, you know, boom, 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 boom. And then we go over into functionality. We talk about posting. We talk about searching, and we talk about notifications. I even go into the settings. So that has to do with the user experience. Some people don't like LinkedIn because they get too many emails.
Yes.
Well, they, Yes, you can actually go into those settings and just really ratchet it down so there's very few emails you get. And your notifications are only things you want to read about. But you have to go into settings and make the adjustments on your end. You know, LinkedIn just will otherwise sort of inundate you. It'll be just too much information.
Flood you with too many
emails. And that can take, you know, sometimes a couple sessions, but usually no more than a couple, like hour-long sessions. So that's how they work with me.
Yeah. And
they pay me through, like, PayPal, you know.
Yeah. Well, everyone uses PayPal these days. So, yeah.
What was that?
So, yes, everyone uses PayPal these days. It's just... connects to everything, connects to your card, handles everything for you. But now my next question was this. So for me to book that Zoom session with me, with you, do I go to LinkedIn and find you? Would that be the best way to connect with
they
you?
They could do the best way. Actually, I should have mentioned this earlier. To book a session with me would just go to my website. I don't have my Calendly link on there. I probably, you know, could do that, you know. I think I'll put it. We'll put it up there, but I will, but they go to my website and then there's a section in my website, Boomers Social Media Tutor. So Boomers Social Media Tutor.com. Then it's very clear where to book a session with Joyce. And then you pay through PayPal at that time. So my website has, it pops you into a scheduling section where you pay, and then you're also set up for a Zoom. So you pick your date, your time, that sets up the Zoom meeting, and then you're prompted to pay through PayPal.
Okay, so that's boomersocialmediatutor.com, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna have that in the description and in the video itself.
Thank you. Please, that really will help.
Yes.
And also, see, they can watch videos of me there, and they can get a feeling for how I operate. So I think that's another way for some, you know, it's so personal. You know, I'm helpful to some people, not to others. You know, everybody, you know, draws to themselves those who feel a comfort level with them.
Yeah. Okay, so now as you're wrapping up, is there one advice you would give to baby boomers who are not on LinkedIn or they have an abandoned LinkedIn account that has not seen the light of day in like a while.
I think just to distill it is to work on your attitude. I mean, you have to start with your attitude and feel like you would be open to looking at LinkedIn. And I would encourage them by going to my website alone. You can get, you know, some ideas. And then through my website, you can get to my LinkedIn and just look at what I, you know, just read about me as an example, because there's more videos there. I also have a YouTube channel that you'll see when you get to one video. So I think just go there and, you know, if you're older, some older people like to read books. There are books about LinkedIn. Oh, that's the other thing they could do. They could get my ebook. In fact, when you go to my website, you are prompted to download my ebook, which is 9 ways to stand out on LinkedIn. Oh. And there's 9 little videos, and there's text that goes with the videos. And it shows the person how to do some of these activities that we've talked about. It talks about posting. It talks about articles. It, you know, so how to accept, you know, whether to accept somebody or not, how to ask to connect. So a lot of the things we talked about are actually covered in my ebook. Oh, and that's free.
Yeah.
Yes. It's about 30 pages if you printed it out. So it's very short. I mean, it's just, it's informative, but it's not overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have any questions for me, or questions that I should have asked, but you want to answer?
Oh, you are such a good interviewer. So I think
thank you.
You are.
Not anymore.
Yeah, amazing. I think we've covered a lot of everything. I'm trying to think of, we talked about posting. I think to really, to make sure they don't give up on LinkedIn, and that they, if at first it feels kind of weird just to keep, you know, acting as if, just go there. You know, I think if they could connect with some of their favorite people that they haven't seen for a while, and they start to see their posts come up and stuff, you know, like, oh, there's, you know, there's Sam again. You know, so they start to get a more of a warm and fuzzy feeling about it, mm-hmm. I think will help. I think once you get a rhythm going with it, I think that will just make such a difference to people. And, but to, you know, really like any social media, you know, like maybe 10 minutes at a time, you know, so don't overwhelm yourself. Don't think you have to read everything in your newsfeed. Oh no. You know, just go for what you can manage at a time.
Yeah. Oh, you tell me one question that just came into my head right now. Should you connect with like, your primary school friend or your college friend, like should you connect with those, or maybe like start at like your first job and you go from there?
Oh no, I, of course, all of a sudden I think about Facebook. I'm closer to some people from high school, you know, on Facebook than I ever was in high school.
Yeah.
But going back to this is LinkedIn. Oh, I think that if you are, let's put it this way, are you interested in that person? There could be some people from primary school that you really were good friends with in the fourth grade, but now you're like, really, I don't care about her, or I'm just not that interested. Or somebody from college, maybe they were friends, maybe they were in your social group, you had the same major, so you took a lot of classes together. You may have grown apart, and maybe that was for a reason. But then again, maybe that person who you kind of knew there, and you look them up on LinkedIn, they're rocketed up. They're like, there's somebody who looks appealing to you now. You're like, oh, sure. Why not rekindle that connection? And so I think that, and then if they don't accept it, just try not to take it personal. You know, everybody's got their own kind of criteria or whatever. I know one gal who will not accept somebody unless she's had a visit like this, like a Zoom visit or a phone call. She won't be connected with them. She's very selective. That's her choice. Me, if someone sounds kind of interesting, promising, I ask them why they reached out to me. I always do that. And then if they answer in a way that's acceptable to me, then I'm like, you know, that's one more person who might be get the benefit of my post about LinkedIn. So I think of like I have a larger, you know, reading audience. So I think, yeah, short answer is I'd go ahead and connect with those people if you have, if you resonate with them.
That's all my questions.
Good for you. We'll have to do this on a regular basis, Abby. Like, you know, you're like my friend. I have a friend almost exactly your age in Bahrain. And she's so lovely. I met her through Toastmasters here in, you know, when she lived in Colorado. And now we're still friends and she's back in Bahrain. She's, you know, halfway around the world. So for me to have Zoom is such a blessing because she's just such a dear friend of mine and I miss her. So this way I can still have, you know, a face-to-face, so to speak, time with her. So it's nice.
Maybe you can, like, I know you said you've not seen your granddaughter in a while. Just do a Zoom meeting with her then so you can see your grandkid.
I don't think I'll do it, but yes, you know, my grandkid is 5, you know, we do FaceTime.
Okay, that also. Okay, it was so nice having you here. We've learned a lot about LinkedIn marketing for baby boomers as well as for pretty much everyone, to be honest, because the advice can be applied to different people. And we know to connect with you, we can go to babyboomerssocialmediatutors.com.
There is Boomers Social Media Tutor.
Boomers Social Media
Tutor. Otherwise, it's already a long business name.
Yes. It's going to be in the video, so no worries.
Yeah, anyway, right.
So nice having you on. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.